When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Zach Wilson, quarterback, BYU.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Joined by a special guest today. It's actually a second time on the show, Mike Westhoff. You know, 20 or 32 years in the NFL, author of Figure It Out, which came out July 12th, an incredible book I think everyone should read, which we'll get into a little bit in a minute. But Mike, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Will. Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on. Everyone loved when you were on last time. So, you know, had to bring you back on as soon as possible. obviously, you know, we're right in the thick of training camp here, you know, into week three. This is when, as you know, kind of people start to separate themselves a little bit preseason. Jets opened up their preseason Friday night in Philadelphia. You know, full pads came on last week. First scrimmage is done. The official unofficial depth chart first comes out. And I know you had a chance to be at Jets practice, I believe. I don't know which day it was, but I believe early on. A week or so ago. Yeah. What were your kind of just takeaways being a practice, talent level, coaching staff, all that type of stuff?
It's you know, to get in too much in depth wouldn't be fair, because I was just there a short time. But what I try to do, anything I look at, I can't help myself. I look at it through a particular set of lenses or glasses, maybe you'd say. And I was looking, what I wanted to see was, okay, this is an early practice, one of their very first days. What's it like? What are they doing? First of all, I saw a pretty good looking football team that looked in pretty good condition. Maybe not everyone, but for the most part, it's not a big, heavy team. And I kind of like that light, fast football team. And I think the way the game's being played today, that's an advantage, because it's just a different football game than it was. So I like that. I saw very few mistakes. I saw one fumbled exchange. I saw very few penalties. I saw a defense that was running around making adjustments to different formations. So for just a very early practice, I saw a pretty good looking NFL early practice. Does that mean they're ready for the playoffs? Or no, that would be crazy to say that. And you have to wait till they put the pads on and they're hitting. But I saw an aggressive, well-organized, disciplined practice. I saw people excited. They were running all over the place. And I was impressed. I was impressed with it. I can make a very, very mild, believe me, mild, when I say this comparison to Miami, where I was just a little bit before that, who has a good looking football team. I mean, if there's a race in the NFL, I'm going to bet on Miami, because they are fast. Whoa, are they fast. So I like that. But I was looking at an early kind of a mini camp type practice. It was not a real sharp practice on offense. I thought the defense looked very good. The offense, and I know it's early and you're not getting things put together. I understand that. I get it. I caught a little bit of hell because I was a little bit tough on them. Not even really probably as tough as I thought I could be. But I was just being honest with what I saw. I saw this, you know, pretty talented group that made just way too many mistakes. And it just didn't feel good to me. And I'm going to judge my offensive practices by what I know in my career. I mean, I was with Dan Marino and Don Shula their whole career, Dan's whole career. Okay. Then I came up to the Jets, where Vinny Testaverde was still, you know, throwing the ball through the wall. If we had ever put him in a shotgun, we'd have gone to the Super Bowl. We couldn't figure that one out. And then Chad Pennington came along, did a real nice job. Oh, and then we had a guy that kind of snuck in. It wasn't too bad, named Brett Favre. Okay, then I went to the Saints with Drew Brees and Sean Payton. So I know what an offensive practice is supposed to look like.
You've seen a few pretty good quarterbacks.
Yeah, and I coached there. I coached them. I sat in the meetings. So I have a good feel for it. And to tell you the truth, I was relatively, believe me, it's relative. I was impressed with the New York Jets. I liked what they, the way they ran around, you know, what they were doing. Their routes looked sharp. You know, the quarterback looked pretty good. It'll be interesting to see how he develops in his second year. But then also, just as I'm to turn this off, sorry. Then also, at the same time, how his coordinator develops in his second year. Because, you know, they're kind of working this together. And so that interested me to see how that's going to go. I think when I look at them, and again, it's not like when I was doing the media work and I used to really study them. That's not it. I'm just a viewer. I spend more time probably watching the New Orleans Saints because that was my last team. And I'm very close with those guys. Okay. I watched a game a couple years ago with the New York Jets, maybe 3-4 years ago. And I thought to myself, I'm not sure I see 5 football players out there that could have made our good teams. I don't mean to be disrespectful. I'm just telling you how I feel. And don't forget, you know, some of those New York Jet teams we had, we were pretty good. You know, yeah. you're looking at an offensive line. Go back, Kevin Mawai, you know, Jumbo Elliott. Well, and the guy carrying the ball is Curtis Martin. I mean, he's a pretty good football player. You know, so and it was a lot of good guys on defense. Abraham and Ellis were our ends. I had an all-star team. I mean, so, you know, I've seen some New York Jet football teams that are very good. And to me, it's a shame that the way they went from 2010, where we go to a championship game, and then all of a sudden, you know, we're making dramatic moves, which I, for the life of me, you know, it was enough for me. And it didn't work. And it hasn't worked since. But with these new guys, it looks to me like they're putting together a competitive group. And so in my opinion, I'm trying to be cautious. I think this is the best prepared I've seen a New York Jet team headed into the season in the past 10 years.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more from a lot of senses. I think, as you know, I think camaraderie within a staff and just an organization of pretty clear structure, whether it's, you know, top down or even bottom up, frankly, from, you know, the most junior coach on the staff all the way up to, you know, obviously the GM, ownership, things like that, having most of the same guys around, having the same head coach, same offensive coordinator, same defensive coordinator, same quarterback coach, same GM, same, you know, assistant GMs, everything kind of locked in place for a second year, and having, like, you know, having building some momentum towards the end of the year last year. But it seems like in camp, there's just the talent level's higher than it's been, which is obviously super important, having good talent, as anyone knows.
Sure.
A talent always, you know, can get you a lot farther than a lot of stuff. But also, you know, Zach going to year two, having the same people around him, you know, more singular voices in his head as a quarterback. There's so much going on. I almost felt like last year, while it was nice to see them try to commit so much effort and from a coaching perspective to have so many people in the building and help him out, I almost think they overwhelmed them a little bit in terms of, like, he's got his personal quarterback coach who they hired. Then he's got another 2 quarterback coaches, an offensive coordinator. It's a lot of guys.
Don't get me started.
Yeah, no, that's
don't even go on that subject because I'll go crazy. Yeah, no, don't forget, like, you know, yeah. I started with Don Shula when we had 7 coaches.
Yeah.
And we were pretty good.
Yeah, it's sometimes more is not always, doesn't always help. But
I think it's crazy.
Yeah, but now at least it's from a talent perspective. I know you got to see a couple guys. Obviously, you mentioned Zach. I know we had talked a little bit about, you know, Sauce Gardner and just him coming out and never allowing a touchdown and all the reports and, you know, seeing Sauce in person, just super long, athletic. Did you get to watch him at all? And do you have any kind of impressions?
I just know in talking to some guys that studied him.
Yeah.
And the thing that just jumped is the number of big plays that happened against him is like 0. I mean, it's like 0.
It's nuts.
I mean, the guy just did it. It didn't matter who they were playing. He handled his job. And so I think that reminds me a little bit, you know, I don't want to throw it out, but that reminds me a little bit of Darrell Revis coming out. I mean, that's the kind of stuff Darrell did.
Yeah.
And he played pretty good for us.
He's pretty good, right? Yeah. No,
he played pretty good. That's what you have to hope for. But the thing that I see that I just happened to watch, and again, believe me, it's a casual observance. An NFL football team that kind of looked like an NFL football team.
Yeah.
And I've been around some pretty good ones. I've been in playoffs most of my career. I didn't get the Super Bowl, but I got every other game. And we were in a lot with Miami, and I was with the Saints for 2 years. We were right there knocking on the door, championship game. I was with 2 of them with the Jets and playoffs 6 times, 6 or 7 times. So you know, I think I have a good feel for it. And this group, what I'd like to see, have they practiced with the Giants yet?
They practice with them next week, or a week and a half. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how they.
I love that. I love that. I used to love doing it because for me, I had one goal. We were going to beat the hell out of them. Yeah. We were going to be so physical. Nobody liked me. Everybody hated me. Yeah, the other coaches used to yell at me all the time. I mean, I said, you know, I'll fight you. I'm not afraid. and I just wanted that really tough team. Never dirty, never crummy, never below the waist, never illegal, but really tough. I love that. And that's the way you get it the next week. You get it right there because you're going to say, okay, here we go. Here we are. Let's find out what this game's like. You know, and it's not going to be a brawl, although there'll probably be a couple of those. That's just part of the game. And that's what football's about. And then you establish that. Now your guys, you know, now they walk in and they come in the room and you show that film and it's like, whoa, we might have a chance here. We're pretty good because we're tough enough. You know that. I remember going up to the Jets or the Giants when they were up in Albany, I think they were. And we went up twice.
It's 2005, right? 2005.
Yeah, when I was with Herman, we went up there. And my guys, we beat them up. We blocked.
Yeah, there was a big. It was a big fight. I don't remember. I think it was Vilma. It was Vilma and Jeremy Shockey. I feel like had a big.
The way the fight really started, and it was our fault. It was the New York Jets' fault. Donnie Henderson was our coordinator, and I'm not a big fan of his in any way, but they were in a 9-on-7 drill. Okay, so he took to 9-on-7. Just do the math. Well, he took the two safeties and he lined them up in there and they told the offense, he said, oh, they're just going to take their steps to recognize. Well, they were flying up there and killing people. So now it was a total mismatch. If I were coaching the New York Giants, what I would have done, I'd have gone and got my toughest receivers I could find. And I'd say on this next play, go in there and crack that guy and put him out. Let's go after him. We're going to hurt him. Yeah. I mean, I that's how angry I would have been. That didn't happen. And I never did that as a coach, but that's how angry that I was that I would try to, because the biggest fight ever broke out and it should have broken out.
Yeah.
I mean, the Giant, you know, Tom Coughlin was furious. He should have been angry, you know, because this wasn't right. We were beating the hell out. And then all of a sudden, you know, we think we're a tough football team. I told them, I said, now we played them in the preseason. And I remember telling those guys, I said, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. This New York Giant team is going to come out in this preseason game and beat the hell out of you. Now they did, with the exception of me. They didn't get me, but I'm telling you, to be honest with you, I was kind of glad they did, because I think our coaches deserve to get their ass kicked what they did that day. That's not football. And Tom Coughlin was furious, and he had every right to be. And I'm disappointed that Herman didn't step in there and stop it, because that's not the way you play the game.
No.
And so they took that to a wrong area, and that was disappointing. I'll never forget it. It led me to have some doubts as to how good we were really going to be. And we were pretty good, but then when push came to shove, we didn't get it done. And so the Giants, as much as I ever hate to admit it, on that part of that little part when they came out in that preseason game, I must admit, I was kind of glad they kicked our ass. They didn't kick mine, though. I promise you that one.
Sometimes it's nice, and it is. Sometimes teams do need to kind of get that little bit of a punch in the mouth. Not humility in a way that every team should be confident, but sometimes a little bit of adversity, whether it be a joint practice, preseason game, whatever it is. It is important, I think, for teams sometimes to kind of establish an identity. I know Robert Saleh talked a lot this week that, you know, they want to be a team that's known for taking teams to, you know, quote unquote, dark place. And, you know, we're going to be so physical with you, and we're going to be as tough that, you know, when like the fourth quarter comes, like we're ready. And a lot of coaches say certain things, but, you know, if players buy into that mentality, you know, they brought guys like Lincoln Tomlinson in, you know, as an offensive lineman, a guy that, you know, everyone knows he flips a switch when he plays, and he's, you know, the ultimate tough guy. And you bring that to an offensive line room that has been called soft by me and a lot of other people over the last 5 or 6 years, you know.
I agree.
The Jets last year, they had 3 quarterbacks get knocked out of games for late hits. And they're not one fight. I mean, I'm not advocating for guys to get kicked out of games.
But come on, this is football.
Yeah,
it's a tough sport.
People are toying with you.
You have to play within the rules. But, you know, there's hitting in this game. This isn't soccer. It's a different football game. No disrespect. None whatsoever. Because I think that athleticism is tremendous. But they don't go out and knock the heck out of each other like we do. That's what the NFL is about. And this next week, when they go over to the Giants, you have to be prepared. let's get ready. The other thing, one of the things that I kind of like that I've seen, you know, I always felt that one of the a real gauge in the NFL, they talk about ability. Well, one of the key parts of that is availability. And I've seen most of those Jet guys are practicing. Most of their good guys are kind of sticking together. So there seems to be a little bit of availability. I know when we deteriorated as a team, when I was there in 2011 or 12, we had signed a number of guys. We had a couple of receivers that, for the life of me, I can't understand. Anyway, they never practiced. Yeah, they never practiced.
I'm not going to name who it is, but we all know who it is.
It was ridiculous. It was a joke. So, you know, everybody's making, making fun of the quarterback. And for crying out loud, he's practicing half the time with guys that aren't even playing. So that's not there's plenty of blame to go around. And I think that's a very interesting thing. So from what I've seen of the Jets, they're kind of putting little checks in some of those boxes. And that makes me a little bit optimistic and kind of excited.
Yeah, no, I think, as you mentioned, look, the every day it's built, you know, I always the quarterback's always going to be the one that's focused on, especially this time of year when you have a young quarterback where, there's a lot of uncertainty, whether, you know, there's a lot of talent there. Can he get the job done? Obviously. But I like the fact that every day throughout camp, he's progressed better and better. The numbers every day, you know, goes from 4 of 8 to 5 of 8, 6 of 8, and camp gets harder. This is the hardest time at camp because you're still so far from week 1 where like you can't really taste it yet, but you know, it's the grind of it's 95 degrees out. You're in full pads every day and it's not 3 days like it used to be, but it's still that grind of camp where now it's unscripted periods, things of that nature. And Zach seems to be playing better and better each day. And the confidence is there. You see the way the guys talk about him. And I think you would attest to this as well, that I always notice how guys talk about it. You can kind of read their bullshit meter a little bit when they talk to people.
Sure.
And I think people like genuinely like him, which to me is important. Not everyone has to love Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, but they've won a million MVPs. They kind of earned that respect.
But you have to respect them.
Yeah, you have to respect them. You gotta respect their game and the way they're playing and more
the way they work, how they work in practice. Are they out on the field?
Yeah.
Those types of things. You know, I remember when I was with Dan Marino, Dan had a sign. He had a sign in his locker from the very first day. A sign in his locker said, "I'm going to practice every day and play every play." And, you know, until he tore his Achilles up in Cleveland, he never missed a practice or a play. Never.
Yeah.
But I wonder why. Maybe I read that sign to my young kids in training camp for 32 years. I told him, I said, you want to be great in the NFL? Try this. I'm going to practice every day and play every play. Try that. It might work. It worked pretty good for this guy because he was a pretty good player. So that to me is part of what all that's about. And, you know, that's where they are right now because training camp is so dramatically different. I talked to a friend of mine last night, one of the coaches with the Rams. And he said, he's one of my old buddies. And he said, Mike, this is hard to call his training camp. He said, it's like the camp you send kids to. He said, this is nothing what we used to go through. He said, but then you have to make of it what it is and make sure. So, you know, okay. Like he said, after every 4 practices, they get a day off, but you better make sure those 4 practices are really something special. There can be no fooling around. Every play has to count. And if you do that as a coach, which I had no trouble doing, it was easy for me to do because, you know, I didn't like anybody anyway. So I was really, you know, I had somebody was kidding me. They were torturing me about that. They said, people, you know, it was hard to play for me. I was tough. And I said, I didn't care about being popular. I said, where I wanted to be popular, I didn't care about if anybody liked me, but where I wanted to be popular was on Monday, not Thursday. Cause on Monday I could sit in that film room and look at you and say, Will, and I could run it back. And I'd say, that's one hell of a job, young man. Now on Thursday, they might've wanted to kill me. That's okay. I cared about Monday. That was my goal as a coach. And so, you know, that's what you have to do. So yeah, training camp is different. It's different now, but so what? Figure it out, make the most of it and make sure you push those guys. And for the little bit that I've witnessed and what I've read, and I followed it, I'm trying to follow the Jets more now. I'm seeing more of that than I'm not seeing.
Yeah, which is important. And look, as you mentioned, look, you know, the Jets have talked about a lot of the work they've been doing, you know, on these off days, a lot of walkthroughs, a lot of mental reps, because you just don't get as much practice time as you used to.
And
the offenses get more and more complicated because, you know, there's more and more film and technology and there's more numbers behind everything. And the playbook seems to get bigger and bigger and you have less time to learn it. So it's another reason why I just look at a lot of the other quarterbacks that are going to year two and all of different offensive coordinators, different people around them. You know, the Jets have the same offensive coordinator and same quarterback that have been working together now. And there was no acclimation period. They went into year two and Zach's already been in the offense. And there's a huge, you know, the West Coast system, the Shanahan system, whatever you want to call it, because, you know, there's a bunch of different, you know, obviously originated from, you know,
Washington,
all that stuff. But, you know, it's a complicated playbook that usually year two, it seems like teams start to click on offense when they've had that. You look at Green Bay and the Atlanta team that went to the Super Bowl, those teams in year two start to really hit the ground running. So you have to hope the same thing for the Jets. I was curious, and I don't know how much you've watched them, so if you haven't, it's not a big deal, but the Jets kind of are an interesting spot where I actually feel like there's, again, they have not had a really solid field goal kicker in a little bit now. Still don't know why Thomas Morstead's on Jet, but that's a whole nother discussion. And we agree on that one, but
yeah, you know how I feel about that. The Jets had a heck of a kicker a couple years ago.
Yeah.
That kid was really good.
Yeah. It was really good. Made the Pro Bowl and then let him walk.
Made the Pro Bowl and you let him go.
Yeah.
It's usually you make the Pro Bowl and you keep him.
Yeah. Usually you get an extension.
Kind of ass backwards.
But Greg Zuerlein, who's a former Pro Bowler, huge leg, but had some trouble last year with extra points. And then Eddie Pinheiro, I'm pretty sure he has missed only one kick. I mean, obviously one tracked kick throughout camp so far. Not as strong of a leg. I know we talked about this a little bit last time, but just in a vacuum, if you had a guy that's a little bit more inaccurate but can make maybe the 55, 60-yarder versus a guy that's really efficient from maybe 48 and in, do you prefer the guy that's more automatic but maybe can't make the longer kick? Or do teams look at high risk, high reward, for lack of a better term, of a guy?
Depends on the football team I'm with. When I'm with Dan Marino and I know he can score from anywhere close, I'm going to take the chance on the long guy that can hit the 55-yarder to win the game. With the Jets right now, I want to get points on the board. Yeah. I want to put points up because I think the Jets can be in a lot of tight games and those points can win games for you. I've looked at it this way, and I did a whole thing on a radio thing about the way that with kickers, the way it's going today. If you don't have a kicker that's in the 90%, and I'm thinking middle 90s, you better find another guy. I'll tell you why. Think of these reasons. Number one, they're playing with a friendly ball. It's not illegal. It's a legal ball, but it's 13 pounds per square inch. The officials do that. Then what they do, the equipment guys, and they've got like 45 minutes to do this before the game. They take the ball and they get a piece of AstroTurf on the table and they buff the ball up just like you would sign your shoes. All right. So the ball will constrict pretty well. You know, you can see it pop out. You know, it's a good ball. It's not illegal, but it's friendly. Okay. All right. So you've got a pretty good ball. You get a perfect snap. And when's the last time you saw a bad snap?
Very rare.
Very rare. And because high school, I mean, long snappers today look like high school phys ed teachers. That's what they look like. And back in the day, when you could line up somebody on them, they had to be big, strong guys.
Yeah, now they're able to line up over the center. You used to be able to line up over them.
Can't do that. We changed that rule when I was there. I was part of a change. Anyway, which I'm not so sure that was a good rule at the time, the way they were doing it. Okay, you've got a perfect hold. Everybody's learned how to hold. They put their back knee up. They catch the ball. They drive their inside elbow into the inside part of the knee that guides the ball right down on the spot. So it's a perfect hold. Get-off times have dropped from an average of about snap to kick of about 1.3 seconds, 1.3, to now it's about 1.25 or 6. So you've got good get-off times because everything's perfect. It's very difficult to block kicks because you can't, you know, it used to be we could line guys up on the center. You could push. You know, you could use leverage. You could jump over. You can still jump over if you take one step, but you can't land on anybody. You got to make sure you jump all the way over. Okay, so you've got all those things. So it's, excuse me, much more difficult to block. All right. I was actually asked by a league representative about the field goal, how to maybe make it a little bit tougher. So we got a pretty good way. We'll see if it happens, but I'm holding off on it till they make the decision. But I gave them a good way to do it. Anyway, So you've got all those things going for the kicker that you're going for. So he should be pretty good. He really should. The toughest thing is is probably the PAT from the 15-yard line, because that makes it a little bit more of a play. We did that. Joel Bussert and I actually made that, really pushed hard for that rule. He's in my opinion, in the NFL office, Joel Bussert's the guy behind the curtain. He's the smartest guy in the building, in my opinion. I mean, I love him. I just think he's a bright man, always talks about keeping the game safe, but yet, you know, keeping things involved. I mean, he's fun to talk to. I love talking to him. Anyway, so I think in that regard, I'm going to find out. I would give those guys the whole preseason. I want to go into preseason games, put them in tough situations, you know, see what you really have in that situation before you make a call. And so, you know, but the Giants, I think that's going to count a lot. I want to see that. I mean, I'd be talking to that Giant coach. I mean, I'd get him going, because I'd try to kill his guys. I'd say, okay, here's what we're going to do. I'd fly across and knock the shit out of them. Excuse me. Sorry. No, I'd knock the heck out of them. And then he'd be coming after us that way. I'd make sure we're going to make it tough. So I'd pressure this to whoever comes out of the battle. But I kind of think if I could get a guy with the Jets that's making a lot of kicks and he's putting points on the board, because I think the Jets, maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong here. You'll have to see. I kind of think their defense is going to get better and better as the season goes on. That's what I'm rooting for.
Yeah. No, I'm in agreement with you. I was looking at, I was just curious from a kicking perspective, because it's one of those things where people just, you know, you don't really think about it too often. If you're, a fan, not every fan's thinking about the field goal kicker. They're thinking about the quarterback the number one picks and all that stuff, which they should. And that's not, there's no harm, no foul there. But I look at a guy like Pinheiro last year, even for his career, 100% from 20 to 29, 98% from 30 to 39. He's 3-3 last year from 40 to 49, and made all 80 kicks last year for the Jets, only a long of 51, made 9 out of 10 extra points. So for me, like, he probably has the leg up. He's done it in 5 games for them. Obviously, Zerline is a guy that, was very, very good with.
Yeah, he's got a good track record. He
got a really good track record.
He's done a nice job.
Right. Last year, though, dropped from, in the high 80s, mid 90s to down to 83%. Again, he's still got, he's got the long of 61. every year he's making 60-yard kicks, but extra points last year, I believe, only made 42 of 48, where in years past he was pretty much 100%. So,
yeah, you can't beat 42 of 48.
Nah.
Even though it's much more difficult. When we made the change, PATs were being made at 99.6%. Then we made the change to the 15-yard line, and it made it a little bit tougher. And so that's the way it should be.
It's an important play now.
It'll be an interesting contest. I think I've got the two right kind of guys there. They'll make the right decision. I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. It was to see how the Jets kind of, use Braxton Berrios in the return game again. Obviously, he was an all-pro last year and, has got a little bit, making a little bit more money now. He's an important piece of the offense. I'm curious how they'll kind of use his reps there, versus offensively last year. It seemed like
use him as a punt returner.
Use him where he's the best.
Deion Sanders returned punts. Give me a break.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Santana Moss was ours.
Right.
He led the league in punt returns. He was a pretty good receiver, if I remember right.
Yeah, no, he's damn good.
It's not like kickoffs. Kickoffs are a little bit different deal, and you're not getting that many of them. Punt returner, you know how to do things. You can judge it right. You get a fair catch to have to use, and that can be such a weapon. You get that guy that can get that weapon going, and that can really make a difference. So I'm for giving that job to a good football player.
I could not agree more. And then I wanted to kind of get to your book a little bit here before we kind of wrap. But obviously, as I mentioned, the book Figure It Out, it's obviously a really cool, I think, from a lot of different ways. If you're someone that loves football history, you're going to be able to learn a lot. If you look at someone that is interested in coaching, you'll be able to learn a lot. If you're someone that just loves the Jets or loves Dan Marino or loves the Saints, like whatever it is, I think you'll find it interesting. You want to kind of talk a little bit, I can get you plug your book a little bit here. Obviously, you guys can buy that anywhere. Amazon, leave a review for Mike, obviously. I think, please.
Right.
All five, pretty much all 5 stars so far. So not doing too bad, but.
It's got pretty much all 5. We've done, I'm proud of it. I thought it would be a good story. I like the way it was handed to me, this job, by total by accident. I never went in to be a special teams coach. I was coaching offense. And all of a sudden, Frank Kush was going to fire the special teams coach. And I talked to him. I said, don't fire him. Let him just help on defense. I'll take it over. Oh, okay, way to go, Mike. And I knew nothing. I knew zero. But what I learned was that really back in 1982, there was very little innovation or creativity. Everybody pretty much just kind of did a few things. But also there was very little, if any, regulation. So you could pretty much do whatever you wanted to try. Though I started trying everything. I just kept doing it. And I developed a kick philosophy. I was going to blitz. So I went to Bud Carson, our defensive coordinator. I said, take me through perimeters of blitzing. The next thing you know, I'm designing kickoff coverage based on Bud Carson, one of the greatest defensive minds in history, on his blitz philosophy. That's what I did. All right, now we're going to return balls. Well, I'm an offensive line coach. I know how to run an off tackle play, how to double team, how to trap, how to create a wall on the backside. So I took all those principles and applied them to kickoff return. Well, in my first 10 years with the New York Jets, we had nine different guys that led the league in returns. Though I know it worked. It just worked. I mean, it just wasn't guys running all over the place. We just knocked everybody down. And the system worked. And it was so much fun to develop. So I wanted to tell that story. But then tell about the guys that came out of nowhere that nobody knew, that nobody wanted. They weren't sure. I fought for them. I'd get them in a position, put them in the right spot where I knew they could succeed. And next thing you know, they're changing the game. And that to me was the incredible part. And that's the story I wanted to tell. And then how it happened and who influenced me, you know, all the way from Don Shula, you know, to even Mike Ditka or Bill Walsh or Bob Knight, believe it or not, Bear Bryant, Woody Hayes. I mean, it's just incredible that just the little bits and pieces that I picked up in different spots and how I kind of blended them together and created a niche that I just loved. And then, you know, we took special teams and there were several other guys too, some coaches that were very good. I mean, I'm pretty, you know, I'm a little cocky about it. So I think I kind of led the way, but there were others.
I would agree.
We took it to a point where it had never been. And it'll never go again. Well, it'll never go back because there's the place that dramatically changed. So, you know, it just made a difference. I believe this. I firmly believe this. Those years with the New York Jets, when we went in the playoffs, I don't believe in any one of those years the New York Jets gets in the playoffs if we didn't have dramatic impact with our kicking game on those games.
Yeah,
and it didn't mean we won the game all the time. No, of course not. I'm not saying that. But we made a contribution that without that contribution, I don't believe the Jets get in the playoffs even one time. I don't believe it.
Yeah.
And we got in almost every year.
Yeah.
You know, we really did. And so, you know, even when Brett was there, don't forget, you know, before Brett hurt his shoulder, we were 8-3.
Oh, yeah.
We were 8-3. We were good. We were a good team. And then you know, then it just kind of collapsed. But and then Rex came along, we go to championship games. So I just know that we contributed. I know what you know, Santana Moss did and Leon Washington did and Justin Miller did and Brad Smith did. And, you know, I know what those guys contributed. And I'm extremely proud, and I thought it would be a fun story to tell, and I'm proud of being able to do it.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I really highly would suggest anybody to read it. I think it's, you know, Kindle, whether you read it on your Kindle, you read the paperback, whatever it is. It's pretty interesting. It's pretty cool seeing Leon Washington back, you know, coaching with the Jets and doing
sure. I just saw him. It was great seeing him.
It's awesome. He was such a dynamic special teams player.
Well, one of the things
too, but
real quick, let me add something real quick. One of the things that I really believe in, if I had to pick who should read this book, if I had to pick out who should read it, aside from some of the medical things, because that's pretty cool. Because, you know, I mean, New York's only got the, you know, the greatest places in the world, Sloan Kettering.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like the poster child for those guys, and I'm the luckiest person in the world. But if I had to pick, it would be high school coaches, because it teaches you how to respect these guys. See, football to me is the one game that everybody can play. Now, you're not going to play it on an NFL level, but you can be a little skinny little kid and you can find a place to play. You can be the young man that's maybe a little overweight and a little heavy, and if a coach treats them right, it puts him in the right spot, he can play. And then he comes out on Friday night and his mother and father are in the stands. That's what I care about. That's the most important thing for me. because no matter, you know, that kid can't play soccer. He's not going to make the basketball team. He probably won't make the swimming team. You know, and the tennis coach doesn't know his name, but that guy can play football. He can do it. And that's what I think the book exemplifies. So if I were a high school coach, I would go buy this book because it's going to help me take these guys and make them, because it's all over the country. And it would, you know, you're not just how many good high school football teams are in your area where you live. I'm sure you could rattle them off.
Yeah.
That's just reality. And there's always those kids out there that if somebody just knows how to treat them, it'll be pretty special.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. It's definitely a worthwhile read. Obviously, you know, Mike's on Twitter, Instagram, and things like that. I believe it's, what is it, ST? It's special. It's, I mean, obviously, I know it's special teams coordinator, but I think it's ST Coach Mike on Twitter. You know, make sure you give him a follow. You know, obviously, again, make sure you guys get the book. You know, we'll have Mike on again during the season. Obviously, as things start to get rolling, but obviously, good things out of Jets camp, and you know, appreciate you coming on, and as always, and you know, obviously, enjoyed it.
Well, thank you. If I were a Jets fan, I'd be pretty excited this year to get started. I'd be a little scared with that opening schedule, but I'd be excited to get going. And I think from what I saw, I was very pleased that because it looked like an NFL team that was starting to line up. It really did.